It was interesting how that commonage was being managed without using controlled burning, because it really appears like they've got it in a kind of a Goldilocks zone somewhere between overgrazing and undergrazing. There's space for wildlife other than sheep, but not so much growth going on that it becomes a danger to the hundreds of houses that surround the commonage. So it got me wondering about the places where you can't use grazing and controlled burning would be a disaster for the wildlife, but some kind of intervention is needed. How do you manage the landscape in those kind of places? Well, ecologist David Fallon is one of the people behind what is recognised as one of the best community conservation projects in the country on Ballydangan Bog in Roscommon. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Philip.
Where is Ballydangan?
Ballydangan is just south Roscommon. It's three bog units. It's just under 800 hectares in total.
And I think if you've driven the motorway to Galway, you'd have passed through it even if you didn't know it.
You would indeed. And indeed, the rail line from Dublin to Galway as well goes right through the bog.
Now, there would be many who would say that controlled burning is exactly what you need to get rid of the old brittle heather there and encourage new, young, tender growth for the red grouse that you were trying to conserve on the bog. But that was never going to be an option for you. Why not?
It was, no, and from the start in 2009, the community led by local farmers and Moor Game and Conservation Club, we said, look, to manage the bog, we needed to look at the whole ecosystem, and conservation should look at the whole entire ecosystem that's there, not just one species. So we took that into account.
And what did you do instead?
Pat Fedley is the project manager there on site, and he works through the Department of Social Protection on a community employment scheme. So we have four guys working there on the project, and this started off, and the project evolved. They started off with strimmers, strimming the heather, and then after that they've got a mulcher on the back of a quad. So they've tried different techniques and trialled them out, so they developed which one works best at this stage.
And you're trying to remove that older, more brittle, senescent heather that has dried out.
We are, yeah, but it's a delicate balance, because you don't want to go in and cut everything. You just want to cut little bits and get the nice young heather coming back in places. But you also need that taller, leggy heather in places, because the birds need to hide from predators. They need to nest amongst that as well, and all the other species, flora and fauna that use the bog as well.
You also manage the predators, to put it delicately.
We do indeed, yeah. And it's not something we hide behind. Nest protection maybe is a nicer word.
Nest protection, that's very delicate.
It is, yeah. But it's just given birds of conservation interest, such as the red grouse, curlew. We've 6 to 8 pairs of curlew using the site as well. Meadow pipit, skylark. Everything has benefited from the project. And it's just given the birds, the ground nesting birds, that bit of space when they need it in the breeding season.
But David, it's a mad amount of work, because you're battling not just the older heather, you've got rhododendron and scrub as well. How many full-time jobs are there working out there now in the bog?
There's four full-time jobs through the Department of Social Protection. So there's four guys working constantly, and Pat Fehley then as well is the manager of the project. And then the whole community comes in and lends a hand when it's needed, when there's work to
okay.
be done.
Rewind the clock there a second. Are the jobs for the Department of Social Protection CE schemes?
They are, yeah. Community employment, yes.
That's a very clever use of the CE scheme, isn't it? Did you manage to keep them throughout the austerity period?
We did indeed. And I think it's down to our project manager, Pat Fehley, there. He's used to fighting his corner, and the community there were fully behind the project. So we really didn't want to lose any traction.
One of the interesting things about this project is that the main energy in the community came, perhaps surprisingly, from a gun club.
Yeah. The hunting guys were the first to see the decline in especially in red grouse. They saw that drop off. The bog had been drained. And in 2009, we all came together and they said, look, what can we do? We're facing a local extinction of red grouse here on the site, and if we don't do something fast, we're going to lose them. So that's how the project came together.
In creating this habitat, though, you have conserved not just space for the red grouse, but for other bird life as well. You've got a proper little wildlife hotspot going on now.
We have indeed, yeah. There's so much there. The curlew and skylark, already mentioned, all the ground nesting birds, they really benefited from the work for the red grouse. So everything got behind it, even Irish hares. We have great numbers of hares on site. Everything is, if you're on the site, the sound and the calls, it's fantastic.
It really struck me when I was out in the Barnesmore Gap Commonage, obviously a very different thing in terms of scale and landscape to what you're dealing with. But I was struck by the fact that I kept on seeing these little purple flowers, and I looked it up and it was a dog violet, which is absolutely crucial to these increasingly rare fritillary butterflies. And the sheep were eating their way around it. If you were to use controlled burning, something like that would disappear from the landscape altogether. So finding other methods is really quite important, isn't it?
It is indeed. And that allows the human eye. Fire is indiscriminate, will burn over the landscape. The human eye going in there with a strimmer or something to cut, you can pick out the areas that are botanically rich. You can move around them, you can leave them there. It really works for us.
Might sound like an awful lot of work, but then when you say you get the CE schemes on it and bringing people together for a bit of metal type activity, it all works and comes together.
It does indeed, yeah. And we're all behind it, and we've grown from strength to strength. And every year when the curlew come back, I get phone calls from different people in the area. They say, oh, they're back. I've seen such and such a one back in this area and that, you know, and that's just terrific.
Brilliant.
That's what conservation should be.
Brilliant. David Fallon, Ballydangan Bog, Roscommon, thank you very much for joining us this morning.